Good morning. It's great to have everybody here today. If you'd like to, get your Bibles open up to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14 is where we're going to start. We're going to talk about something for a moment or two, and then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture. So it's kind of like the introductions found in the Gospel of Mark. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we will continue on going through the Gospel of Mark. But today, I kind of want to establish a little bit of a principle, something we looked at a few weeks ago, something we're also going to additionally look at next week. But there is something that I think is important to be in between. Announcement-wise, inside your bulletin, there's a little handout there for the men's retreat. That's in Tennessee. Gives you some details. We'll go over that a little bit more in the regular service. Also, you have the announcements about the game night. Our ladies' retreat is this upcoming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you'll see, we'll go over some more announcements come during the regular service. So, Mark chapter number 14. So, we looked at this a few weeks ago. Obviously, last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And last Sunday morning, we spent a lot of time talking about, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Specifically, the Lord teaching Peter and the other disciples the importance of the spirit being willing, but the flesh weak. And tonight, the title of this morning's message is Making Our Desires into Decisions That Last. Making our desires and decisions that last. Because if you look at that, what it says in Mark chapter 13, look what it says in verse number 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So the principle is our spirit's interested in doing the things that God wants us to do, but our flesh is weak. And so we spend a lot of time with that, and we're not going to reteach or preach that lesson, but I'd like to somehow maybe fill in the gaps a little bit about how to get from just having a desire of serving the Lord and to making it a decision that will last. And that's one of the complications or one of the problems that many people face today is I have had, you know, decision after decision. We make decision after decision, and it gets to the spot that we fail. Why is that? Our spirit, it's ready, it's willing, but our flesh is weak. Look what it says also a couple verses earlier in verse number 36. The scripture says, and he said, Abba, Father. So next week, we're going to look at Abba, Father a little bit in one of the services. It may be tonight, but I'm thinking it's not going to be. But the relationship we have, that word Abba is a very interesting Bible study. The word adoption is connected to it in a couple other passages in the Bible. But he says here, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And in the passages of Scripture, it's saying here, we must get to a spot where we're doing what God wants us to do, not what we want. Because why? Our flesh is going to want what's not right. But our spirit's interested. And I'm sure that if you've, I know I've dealt with this. I'm sure I've heard many testimonies before. I want to do what's right. My spirit's interested in doing what's right. My spirit wants to continue to do this, this, then this. But for some reason, I don't have the discipline and I begin to just have flesh. My flesh keeps on winning versus the other thing. So today, we're going to look at some different principles I believe that can help us take our desires, which is the spiritual desires, and make them into decisions that last. Not just being, hey, I made a decision for a revival. I made a decision. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I made my decision. Whatever the decision is, I'm going to be nicer to my wife, nicer to my husband. I'm going to be faithful to church. How many of us have made commitments and then we've fallen short of them? And I think that's something that happens oftentimes in believers' lives. So how do you make the connection there? And I've got a few different principles today that I hope will be helpful to you. They've been helpful to me in the past. They're something I probably shared with, whether at a luncheon or other times years ago. But these are some principles to take our desires and make them into decisions that last. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, there is a passages of scripture here. Joshua is saying goodbye to the nation of Israel as the leader of the nation of Israel. He has conquered a portion of the promised land, but not everything that God wanted him to do. But God used Joshua in a powerful way. Joshua, at the end of his life, was a man of conviction. We see that in the verses that we're getting ready to read. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He has a desire there. It's a great desire, but he's made it into a decision. And today, I'd like to look at just a couple of things to help us from these verses, show us how we can take those desires and make them into decisions that would last. I don't know who the person is, but I've heard a preacher say it a few times. I've said it myself a few times, that if we truly would see revival, if we would just do the things we promised God. We would truly see revival if we would just do the things that we promised God we would already do. Talking about as a church, as a whole setting, if we would just do the things that we've already promised God, God's already spoken to our heart about, God's already dealt with us about, if we would just be honest and do everything that we've already committed to the Lord over the many years, we truly see revival amongst us. But the problem is, those desires oftentimes don't become decisions that last. Sometimes the decisions might last for a week or 2 weeks, sometimes even for a few months. But to truly reap a habit that will last for a long period of time, there's a couple of different principles here that I think would be important to look at. Let's look here, Joshua chapter 24. Let's look in verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now, remember, the setting is Joshua is speaking to the nation of Israel. He's charging them. He is giving a final speech. And he says in verse 14 and 15, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16, you see the response, and the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Their spirit is willing. I know it's a different dispensation. They're not someone who has the spirit of God, but their desires was there. No, we're not going to forsake the Lord. God forbid we do that. Verse 17, "For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, for the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." So they get the reasons why they should serve him. They're reasonable. They are true. But then he begins to talk about, in verse 19, Joshua has an interesting response. Most of the time we'd be like, "That's great. That's wonderful. Keep it up. You know, that's the right answer. That's the answer we're looking for." But Joshua knows the people. Joshua knows the hearts of the people. And he says in verse 19, "And Joshua said unto the people." Now, why would Joshua feel this way? Joshua was with them in the land of Egypt. Joshua was with them when they were supposed to go into the land of Canaan. Joshua was with them all the 30 to 40 years, the 40 years of wandering. Joshua has been with them every step of the way. And he knows the hearts of the people. And he says in verse 19, "And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." Sometimes people give me a hard time before when someone makes a commitment or decision, and I try to re-emphasize, "Hey, look, this is not going to be easy. You know, it's my desire that I serve the Lord." There's a song, I think Mr. Humbert sings, "It's my desire that I serve the Lord." And that's a great spot to start. But a desire that turns into a commitment or a decision that lasts is something that's key. And that's what he's saying to this nation of Israel. Remember this, understand this, that if you don't do what's right, if you don't serve the Lord, then these things are going to happen. Verse 21, the response of everybody, because of their spear, because of their desire. "And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are my witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto you, us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny the Lord. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. So we see in this response what Joshua is saying, you know what? It's not going to be as easy as you thought it was. It's something here you see here in verse 19. He says, you cannot serve the Lord. He already knew that the people had made the commitments. He had already been and experienced all the murmuring during the wandering years. He had already experienced all the different things that happened in Egypt and how they're praising the Lord on the one side of the Red Sea. But just a few little while later, they're there complaining and they're whining and they're murmuring, all those things. He understands that they're a fickle people. And he's saying to you, he's trying to get free emphasize, you need to make a decision that's going to last. Oh, we're going to serve God. Look what God did for us. God brought us out of Egypt. God did this for us, and God did this for us, and God did this for us. And the answer is yes. There's no doubt about it. We should serve God. But he's saying, but when you choose to do things your own way, you're not serving the Lord. So today, I'd like to think about a few principles from these verses that help us get from making our desires into a decision that will last. That some character traits that God has, I believe, will have in a person who has a surrendered heart. The first thing I want you to see here is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. We'll go back. The main verses we're going to look at is verses 14 and 15. In verse number 14, it says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. I truly believe no person will be resolved to make a decision that will last to serve the Lord who does not truly understand who the Lord is. I'm not saying you have to take years of Bible college. I'm not saying, but to truly understand who God is, to have a good image and picture, a good understanding. More importantly, what you see, having a proper vision of God sitting high on the throne. God is holy. God is righteous. God desires. And that's what he says to him. He says, you must learn, if you're going to make this a decision that's going to last, it must be something that you understand that you must serve the Lord of fear. Joshua had learned this from maybe his parents or under the tutelage of Moses, or maybe he learned it from when he was offered an opportunity to lead and how he was taught to be strong and courageous. It's the Lord that we must allow to decide what is right and what is wrong. And you see these verses, he says in verse 19, Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He's saying, he's not going to turn his back on these things that you're saying that you do. You're saying, this is okay and this is okay. He's not going to do that. If you're going to truly serve the Lord, it's going to have to be a decision that lasts and that lasts forever. And you see, just a few years later, there's a generation that doesn't even know God in Judges chapter number 2. And it's amazing to me that we see that so often we have this desire to want to do what's right and have God work and make all these decisions for God. But we got to remember this. If we want a decision that's going to last, we must learn to fear the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, it's interesting, a fascinating Bible study where you see the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord isn't talking about I'm scared that God's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt. That fear of the Lord is more of a reverence. It's an awe. I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint my God. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail my God. I don't want to do anything that's going to bring harm to the name of my God. I fear the Lord. That's because I fear the Lord. I don't want to watch that because I fear the Lord. I don't want to listen to that because I fear the Lord. I'm going to treat people with a proper relationship because I have a proper perspective that God is the one that's on the throne and he judges you universe. And that's why he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you truly want to take this spiritual desire that we have, like we talked in Mark 14, the spirit is ready, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must have a proper perspective of who God is. And that's what he's saying in verse number 19. He's a jealous God. He's not going to forgive your transgressions. He's not going to turn a blind eye to it. In verse number 20, you can't be serving these strange gods. You say that you serve the Lord. You give all these reasons why you serve the Lord, but you still have this sin that's sitting over there. If you really want this decision to last, if you really want, yes, we should serve God. This is my desire. It must get to a point the decision at last is that you have a good understanding who God is. In the book of Psalms, it says in chapter 25, verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The man that fears the Lord, that has a proper perspective, that says, I'm on holy ground all the time. I'm walking before the Lord, that the Lord sees everything I see, say. The Lord sees everything, or he understands everything I think. He does. He's God. And that it's not just, hey, it's church, I got to behave a certain way. No, I belong to the Lord. And it's a holy ground. And he says, the man that will fear the Lord is the one he's going to teach. He's going to be able to get them to the point that they're going to be able to make a decision that lasts. If ever we are to be Christians who see their intentions to become resolved Christian living, it will become with a proper fear of the Lord. It's not something somebody can measure. It's an understanding that we decide to judge our lives based off of who God is. Not based off of our circumstances, not based off our situations. If we want decisions that last, we're going to live our life not to disappoint the Lord. That's when the decision's going to last, because he's the one that is first and foremost in our hearts and lives. Second thing is, not only just fearing the Lord, second thing is determined to live with sincerity and truth. Determined to live with sincerity and truth. Look what it says in verse number 14 once again. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. And then he says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. This word sincerity literally means entire. It's our entire being. This means that it's complete. This means that it's with our whole heart. This means no hypocrisy, no wax, nothing that's trying to fill in the gaps there. It's speaking of no hint of saying one thing and being something else. No hint of getting dressed up to look good to others, but instead our intentions would become resolved when we make a commitment not to be false before others, not to have a play a game, but in sincerity and truth, I want to serve the Lord. Every area. And it's like, once again, if you want to, these spiritual desires, our spirit is it's ready, it's willing. Our flesh is weak. And the only way we're going to overcome this is by being fearing the Lord. But then I need to be sincere. No hypocrisy. No, well, I got to play this game over here. Well, you know how things work. It's sincere. And that's what he's telling the nation of Israel here, who would give sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifices. You read in the major prophets and minor prophets, you read how those sacrifices were not pleasing to the Lord because they weren't giving them with their heart. Yes, outwardly, they wanted to make sure that they were behaving and that they were doing what God had commanded them to do for God's blessings. But inside their heart was far from God. And this is the reason why many times decisions won't last, because our spirit is ready, our spirit's willing, and we're here preaching and we want to respond. We know God's speaking to our heart. We know we want to be right. We know he's God. We know we should serve him. But deep down inside, when we come and make this commitment, we realize, yes, that looks good on the outside. Yes, I want to serve the Lord, but there must be meat that comes with that. What does that mean? That means I must look at every area of my life and see, in my relationship with my family, am I right with the Lord? In my relationship with my church family, am I right with the Lord? In my relationship with God himself, am I right? Every area of my life, there can't be some type of hypocrisy that looks, and that Hosea makes it this way. He calls Israel a cake that was not turned, cake not turned. And it gives the picture of the fact that on the outside it looks done, but the insides was not done. No, none of us are perfect. All of us are going to fail because our flesh is weak. No believer will ever be perfect until he sees Jesus. But the danger is willing to accept a false testimony of surrender instead of a permanent condition of surrender. Oh, yeah, I surrender all to Jesus. And I'm talking about taking that next step that most people will miss out on. Who may live most of their Christian lives, never completely surrender, who can't figure out and connect the dots. Why can't I watch and pray? Why can't I want to make this decision and I want to serve the Lord? God's speaking to my heart and I want to make a change. But for some reason, that commitment just doesn't last. And that's why he comes to Joshua. He says, look, you can't be playing around. It must be more than just saying that I want to fear the Lord. It must come with a resolve that through commitments that we will evidence that there's making a commitment to the word of God and that God is changing us and God is working in our heart. Joshua learned this in Joshua chapter number 1. And he talks about 6-9, this famous verses, talking about how the law of the Lord and how we need to meditate there and day and night. And there's promises, there's prosperous living that comes along with that. But the problem is, how many times have we seen hypocrisy in the church? How many times have we seen fake? How many times have we seen people that just are not sincere? is because their spirit, it's willing, it's interested. They want to do what's right. They just don't know how to make that commitment. It's sincerity and truth. It's wanting every part of us to be what is right. It's observing to all the commands. Actually, why don't you go ahead and take your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and some of you may be able to quote these verses. In Joshua chapter number 1, he's learning this, that he has to, he's learned this lesson, and now at the end of his life, he's been faithful all these years. He hasn't been perfect. Yes, he's failed, and yes, you have to get that right. He failed at AI. He got that right. If we fail, we have to get right. We have to repent. We have to try to correct the things. He says in Joshua chapter 1, look what it says in verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not just some of it, all. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he sees in verses 6 through 9, the importance is placed on all the word of God. So what happens when we fail? What happens when we sin? We don't sweep it underneath the rug. We deal with God in sincerity and truth. We've done something wrong. We repent. We forsake it. And we seek God's will. That's how the decision's going to last. Instead of saying, well, it's so-and-so's fault, or it's because of this reason, it's my circumstance, it's just where I... No. He says, be completely honest with yourselves. Be completely true. If you want these decisions to last for something that's going to last for a lifetime. Fear the Lord. And deal with it with sincerity and truth. Be honest with yourself. Take a good look inside. We can spot somebody else's sin a mile away. There's this is what's wrong with that person. But looking inwardly and dealing with ourselves in sincerity and truth is another way to determine how to make a decision that will last. Next thing, not only is it determined to live with sincerity and truth, is put away false idols. Put away false idols. Go ahead and back to Joshua 24. And it says here in Joshua 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So it was before the flood, even in Egypt. It seems as if there was a part of their family that would serve even the Egyptian gods. Now, here's the thing. If I'm going to fear the Lord, okay, I got that. I want to let God deal with me completely and thoroughly in sincerity and truth. I'm tired of the games. I want God. I want to be right with the Lord. That means there's some things that need to go away. And that's what he's saying in verse number 20 over there. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. I mean, he comes out there and he says, do you hurt? Look what it says in verse 23. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. There was things in their lives that was a strange god. And he says, you need to get rid of these things. There's things that do not belong in our lives. If you want a decision that's going to last more than just the day, or more than just the week, more than just a few weeks, it's got to be something, if this is not right, I need to get rid of it. There's a word that I mentioned to the men yesterday in our men's prayer meeting, the word precious. And tonight we might look at that a little bit. And there's a spot in Jeremiah that says, it talks about taking away the vile from the precious. There's a lot of precious things that God has put in his word. And there's things that should be precious to us. But the problem is we've allowed some things that are vile in this world become precious to us. He says, take those things away. And that's what he's saying to his people. If you truly want to make a decision that's going to last, he's saying, you're not going to serve the Lord. He's saying, I know you. I know that you're going to fall. I know this is going to happen. And I know all these different things are going to happen. But instead, he says to him, look, the only way it's not going to happen is put away these idols. Say, Pastor, I don't have an idol that's sitting there. No, you don't have some type of statue that's sitting at your house. But you may have a TV that's sitting at your house, or a computer or a tablet or something. Anything you put before God. Now, this, people don't care about saying, hey, we need to fear the Lord. People do not care about when you say, Okay, sincerity and truth is what we're looking at. But when you start touching other people's idols, they're not happy. When you turn around and you start wanting to deal with sin and dealing with things in your heart and dealing with things in your life, and that kind of boils over, hey, I'm not going to watch this anymore. Hey, you do what you want, but God spoke in my heart about it. And then people start sending flags up. Well, what's wrong with that? And they begin to start complaining because God's, you've been sincere. There's junk in your life you want to get rid of. There's people you want to get relationships right. You wanted things dealt with. And he says, no. That's an idol in my life. That is something I love more than God because I do not want to deal with it. That's something I'm setting aside and saying, I don't want to deal with it in sincerity and truth. It becomes an idol because it's before God. And putting away our friends, our family, our flesh, even the devil does not mind a person saying, I'm going to serve the Lord. They don't mind if somebody says, I'm going to serve him in sincerity and truth. They don't mind when we make the say, I want to fear the Lord of my life. But when we begin to actually serve the Lord, you know what happens? People fight you tooth and nail. When you say, I'm going to serve the Lord with my heart, my life, and it changes the way you live, there it becomes the fact that they no longer appreciate what you're trying to do. The devil's going to fight us every step of the way. And sometimes he uses people that are closest to us to try to defeat us. How many times have we seen people make a commitment? I know we use camp as an example when we take teenagers or children away and they hear from God and they learn of God and all those different things. They do all those different things. They come back and say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to do this, this, and this. And then it fails sometimes. It falters out. Not always. I answered God's call to preach when I was at camp. Yes, it took me a lot of years to finally get it right, but there was different times when God spoke to my heart, and there's revivals, there's retreats. That's why I encourage this ladies' retreat and men's retreat. It's not just about having a good time and growing closer together. There's going to be lessons there to try to challenge our hearts and be away from other things. Praise the Lord, the fact that it will be an encouragement to try to do what's right. And here, you know what happens then? I think we should stop this. I think we need to get rid of this. And when you make these decisions, there's going to be people who don't understand. And people, well, what's wrong with this? And they become judgmental and they become quick. You know, no, I don't think this. You know, you understand that when you make a decision that's going to last, there's certain things you have to put away. There's an action that must be accompanied by intention, on purpose. I'm not going to do this anymore, so that way I can fear the Lord. That way I can live a life with sincerity and truth. I'm putting this away because this is stopping me from truly doing what God's called me to do. Putting stuff away is something that at that moment in time, doing something on purpose is what will help make a decision that will last. Is there something that needs to be put away in your life? Is there something that needs to be finally gotten rid of? Is there something that needs to be become a commitment? Is there something you must say, I'm done with this, I'm dealing with this, I'm making a commitment? Is there something? Because that's what's going to be a decision at last. But oftentimes, how many times you say, well, I'm just fine, everything's okay, everything's right, but there's something that's pushed right underneath the rug. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. You don't want to deal with that. And those decisions are not going to last. Because you don't fear the Lord. You're not living in sincerity and truth. You're trying to make believe everything's okay when there's something wrong. There's something that must be dealt with and put away. And that's what he's saying to this group. They actually have idols that are among them. This is the group that's saying in verse number 17, verse number 18, look at all the things God did. This is why we're going to serve him. But right inside their camp, what is there? There's idols. He says, you're going to have to get rid of them. They're amongst you right now. Next thing is not only do we need to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the idols, is you got to make a decision. Verse number 15, you see that famous comment at the end, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He begins to tell them in verse number 14, he says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. They made their choice. In Egypt, they made their choice. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that's the decision there. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to truly serve the Lord? I know that I've been in a lot of your houses, and they had that little placard that was there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know that they gave that away, I think, one year as some type of Father's Day gift or some type of promotion or whatever, and they put that. And a lot of you have that on your door. I think it's wonderful that you made a decision. I'm going to serve the Lord with my heart and my life. Here it is. You got to learn how to fear Him. You got to learn how to do it with sincerity and truth. You have to learn to put things away if it needs to be put away. And then you make this decision. But the decision is not a one-time decision. It's a day-in, day-out decision. The difference between an intention and a commitment comes down to one very basic thing, making a decision. He says, choose ye this day. You know what you're going to have to do tomorrow? You're going to have to choose you this day. You know what you're going to do next day? You're going to choose you this day. Every day, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's what makes it a decision that will last each and every day. Remember, the spirit is ready. The spirit is willing. The flesh is the one that's weak. That's why he says, watch and pray. That's why he says, you can't just make a decision once and think, hey, it's done. It's day in, day out. I'm choosing to fear God day in, day out. I don't want to be hypocritical. I want to be completely honest and pure in my heart. If someone has a question or comment, I want to be able to talk to them and be able to help them understand why I believe and what I believe. And then there's times in my life when God brings things in my heart and my life, you need to deal with this. You need to get rid of this idol. And that idol can come in a lot of different forms. We talk about entertainment because that's easy, because that doesn't bother a lot of us. But there is an idol that comes alongside of being bitter. I'm going to hold on to this. There's a bad attitude idol that someone can have. There is, you know, it's fleshly things that we just don't want to deal with. And we just say, nope, that, don't touch that. That means you love that too much. We need to put certain things away. And then each and every day, make a decision. Choose you this day who you will serve. I'm going to serve the Lord today. What does that mean? I have to fear Him. Got to be sincere. There's certain things I cannot do because I've chosen to serve the Lord. And I got to make that decision over and over and over again. It's not easy to say no to something that you've used to. It's not easy to say no to something that has an addiction on you. It's not easy to say no to something when the devil is prompting you. We're going to see in the morning service, the nation of Israel, once again, we're actually sticking in the Old Testament today in the main service. And there's a story that I taught to the children's church this morning that God kind of spoke my heart about doing. Man, there's so much richness and goodness in that story that helps us understand how we respond is important. In Joshua 24, I want to make a decision at last. I know in my life there's been many times when I made a decision. It just didn't last. Today, I'm going to do this from every day now on. Sometimes it's a diet decision. You know, sometimes we think it's hard. I'm not going to drink any more of this, or I'm not going to eat any more of this. And sometimes we fail. But more importantly, spiritually, Joshua gives us a recipe or an answer, how to get from, yes, I want to serve the Lord, to actually serving the Lord. Take your Bibles now to Judges. Go over to Judges chapter number 2. It says in verse number 6, it says, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timroth-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, and at the north side of the hill of Gaash. Look at verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, that next phrase, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. It's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. You see all the things that God had done, and no one passed it down. They knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Pastor, where did the connection happen? Where did the disconnect happen? They made decisions to Joshua. We're going to serve God. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. But they had idols amongst them. And they never truly showed their children how to sincerely serve the Lord. They did not pass down, this is what happened. This is what God did. This is what God can do for you. And there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. You look around today, there's a generation that's coming on the scene. It's already come. The previous generation doesn't really truly know God. The only time they're going to see it is from Christians who fear the Lord, who serve Him sincerely, willing to make hard decisions about putting certain things away, and make that decision each and every day. Today, let's learn how to take our commitments, our desires, and turn them into decisions that last. Let's go ahead and pray.